I hope my voice is going to hold out.
We'll see what happens. I'm a little bit... Okay, before we start, I was struggling whether I should again mention the situation. And the truth is, I find it a little hard to talk about it, because the more you talk, the more you use up the feeling. You feel something deep down. Talking about it a little bit turns it into something superficial. But yet, I think that it's a thing to do. We don't have much of a choice. Especially since, and I was thinking that the basic approach to this is probably clear to everybody. I don't know, I was in the Beis Medrash today. And I heard in the Beis Medrash people talking about it. And they were discussing exactly what needs to be done in order to solve the problem. People don't realize, but there are two geniuses here in town who have it figured out exactly. And I was kind of getting the impression that they know also other geniuses who also know exactly what needs to be done. And analyzing the differences between Netanyahu's approach and Olmert's approach, and I'm proud to say that I can't repeat it. I don't know exactly what the differences were. I don't know. My feeling was that by Tfilas Ne'ilah, why do we have to get so intense? Well, if you guys could sit down around the table, what are we davening for? What the year is going to be like? Sit down around the table, figure out what the political situation is, whether there are elections coming up or not, exactly how their track record is. And we have an idea of what the year is going to be like. Who needs all the tefillahs? But the answer is that at least at Ne'ilah, we realize that at the end of the day, it's something deeper than that. Now, we should really all be walking around in a state of mind, mamish like Ne'ilah. To realize that Hashem is telling us clearly, now is a time for davening and for tshuva. That's clearly what's going on here. Let's say we can figure out exactly what needs to be done, etc., etc. Come on, we can't get away from it. 2 weeks ago we were talking about this in the context of the hurricane. The hurricane just happened to hit some of the main Jewish concentrations in the United States. And then exactly after that, this is going on here. There's got to be some common denominator, and the common denominator can only be that it's the voice of Hashem. There's a call. Now, of course, those who could actually do ishtadlis on the matter should do so. Anybody who does have influence on Netanyahu and can get things moving, do so. But as far as the rest of us go, let's not be wasting our time with the externals of it. Let's focus on what's really going on and realize this is a call from Hashem to connect tefillah, tshuva, bring Hashem back into our life. I realize that this is a call. People are not aware enough. And then also, Rachmana Litzlan, people gave their lives already. Baruch Hashem, by the way, we have to note also that we're seeing Nisim all the time. The Nisim that we're seeing can't be ignored. It's mamish. With all the Midas Hadin that we're talking about, we have to realize that there's immense chesed going on here all the time also. That has to be noted also. Also, you have to say. I remember hearing of Moshe Sternbuch once say, so you see in the papers, this happened by a nace, and that happened by a nace. But one thing is missing. It's all very rare that the papers will actually spell out, even the front papers, who made the nace. The front papers will say a nace happened, but how often do you see them spell out in the paper who made the nace? Let's note these things also. When we're davening for these things, when we're davening for things to get better, let's also realize we have to, so to speak, offer Hashem something. When we daven for refuah, we say refa'inu kisi laseinu ata, right? That's what we say in the bracha of refa'inu. We're telling Hashem, heal us because you're our praise, meaning if the Yeshua comes, we'll praise you. We have to get into that mindset also. Bezos Hashem, we hope to see Yeshua's here. We have to be in the mindset of being ready to respond in kind. Hashem can know that yes, if He brings us a serious Yeshua, we'll take the lesson to heart and we will dedicate ourselves to Him all the more and we'll directly attribute it to Him. That betters our chances. I just felt I couldn't let myself off without saying at least this. And Ten L'Chacham V'Yech Kamoi, these are things to think about. The main thing is to feel it inside, not to talk about it too much. Now, we'll begin. Dalit Amud Beis. We're going to begin five lines before it spreads. We have two dots. Okay? Five lines before the line spread. Dalit Amud Beis. We have two dots. We're really going to just latch onto what was basically a side point in the previous Gemara. The previous Gemara talked about coming home after work. It said, you go to shul, you learn a little bit, you say Kriya Shema, and then you daven. Now to us that sounded natural, because that's how our Ma'ariv looks. But actually, it's not so self-understood that you say Kriya Shema, and then you daven. It's actually a machlokes. There's an opinion that says, the order is the opposite. First you daven Shemone Esrei, and then you say Kriya Shema. So let's see. Omar Ma, the Braisa had said, the order is you say Kriya Shema, then you daven Shemone Esrei. This supports Rabbi Yochanan, who says that yes, this is the order it's meant to be done. Rabbi Yochanan said, now here I just have to note again what we noted back in the beginning, all the way in the beginning of the Masechta, that really what we call Ma'ariv is a composition of a couple of parts. It's not really just one unit. There's Kriya Shema, which is with its brachas, which is one chiyuv, and then there's Shemone Esrei, which is essentially a different chiyuv. Essentially or theoretically, the two don't have to go together. It's two separate chiyuvim that happen to both occur at night. So theoretically, daven Shemone Esrei when it works out, daven Kriya Shema when it works out, in whichever order. But yet, Rabbi Yochanan says, why do we do it in the order we do it? Rabbi Yochanan says, Ezu ben Olam Haba, who is a citizen of Olam Haba, already in this world, he can consider himself as already having a place in Olam Haba. Zasoymech Ge'ula L'Tfila Shel Aris. It's a person who davens Ge'ula and Shemone Esrei of Ma'ariv one after the other immediately. Geula refers to the bracha of Gal Yisrael, which should immediately precede Shemone Esrei of Ma'ariv. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer. So in other words, what's the order? Kriya Shema, which is followed by Gal Yisrael, and then Shemone Esrei. And that's what we do. That's right. Oh, good. Let's see. That Rabbi Yeshua.
It's like
Shakus, it's like that. Geula, Gal Yisrael, and then Shemone Esrei. It's not something saying it was part of Gal Yisrael. You're asking Rav Mordechai, right? Rav Mordechai is asking, what do you mean? That's what we do in Ma'ariv. We have Gal Yisrael, then we have Ashkivenu, then we have Shemone Esrei. And those of us who have experience from Chutz La'aretz know that there are other things too. That's what you were referring to. I can tell what you're asking from your smile. So, we have experience together. So, what are we going to do with this? We'll see. I'm going to put you on hold. But whatever it is, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer, Tfilos Ba'emtza Tiknum. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, no, that's not the order. Shemone Esrei, the three Shemone Esrei that we daven every day, go between the two Kriya Shemas. Meaning, we have
Kriya Shema in the morning, then Shemoneh Esrei, Shabbos. Later you have Shemoneh Esrei of Mincha. Later Shemoneh Esrei of Maariv. And only afterwards the last Kriya Shema. Kriya Shemas are at the two ends. All three Shemoneh Esreis are in the middle. That's his Shita. Now, what's that? No. Shachos will come out the same. He's saying that you have to have Kriya Shema in the beginning and the end, and all three Shemoneh Esreis in the middle. The Shachos comes out the same. Kriya Shema, Shemoneh Esrei of Shachos, that's how we do it. That everybody agrees to. Then you got Shemoneh Esrei of Mincha, Shemoneh Esrei of Maariv, and then Kriya Shema. Why? Oh, so the truth is, you're right, his point is really something else. So we'll see what his point is. Okay. So whatever it is, Rabbi Yochanan says that at Maariv it's supposed to be Shema, Goal Yisrael, and then Shemoneh Esrei. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says no, Shemoneh Esrei, and then Shema and Goal Yisrael. Now, as we noted, our Braisa supports Rabbi Yochanan. Our Braisa had said, you say Shpia Shema, and then you daven. Now, first we'll see the structure of the Gemara, then we'll come back to note the different points that need addressing. Now, b'may kam ifligi. What is the basis of their machlokes? Ibay say mikra. They could be explained as arguing how to understand the pasuk. Ibay say misvara. They might simply be having a logical argument. Ibay say misvara. First, a logical argument. The Rabbi Yochanan Tzavar, what the Yochanan holds, Geula Me'ota Nami Havi. Now let's step back for a minute. Everyone agrees that there is this issue of Goal Yisrael immediately before Shemoneh Esrei. Yisrael ben Levi also agrees that that's how you do it in the morning. Right? And so the stress is that Rabbi Yochanan holds, that's how you do it at night also. That was Rabbi Yochanan's addition. So everyone agrees with the concept of Goal Yisrael before Shemoneh Esrei. Now what's the idea? When we understand what the idea for that is, we'll be able to understand better the machlokes. The idea here is something that can already mamish enrich our lives. You get your Gemara? Now Rabbeinu Yoina gives a couple of, we have to realize, in brachas we're mamish privileged. Rabbeinu Yoina was one of the most profound Bali Musa, right? In brachas we have a regular parish of his in the back, so we're privileged to a lot of special insight in this Masechta. What's the idea of Goal Yisrael and then immediately afterwards Shemoneh Esrei? Rabbeinu Yoina says, I want to start with the parish that most hit me, but the truth is he gives a few pirushim, each of which deserve a lot of attention. What are you doing when you're saying Goal Yisrael? We're not just reciting. What we're supposed to be trying to do is relive the Geula. Relive the Geula. Really experience it again. When you go through it, you go through it slowly, trying to really experience what it was like at the time. Alter from Kelm said, the Alter from Kelm, from Simchat Yisrael Ziv said, that living the Geula is really the basis of being a Jew. That's when we met Hashem. We'll see that in Kuzari in a couple of weeks. That's when we met Hashem. Hashem introduced himself to us at Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we then were so inspired by what we saw that we just yelled, Na'aseh V'nishma, right? That's the basis of our Judaism, the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. At Goal Yisrael, we're trying to relive that all the time because really, we're supposed to be living that all the time. That's why we're supposed to mention it, morning and evening. So at Goal Yisrael, we're attempting to relive it. Now, when a person does relive it, if a person really closes his eyes and envision what actually happened then, he sees the splitting of the sea, he sees the might of Hashem, you approach Shemoneh Esrei differently. As it is, how do we approach Shemoneh Esrei? Davening for Parnasa. Okay, you know, it's hard to always encompass in your mind exactly who Hashem is, right? When he's davening for Banasi, he's kind of begging, figuring, you know, maybe Hashem has a couple of extra bucks, maybe I can try to wrangle it out of him. It's probably not so easy for him. We don't think that consciously, but you're not really appreciating who you're talking to when you're making your little puny request. When a person is mamish living the splitting of the sea, he sees it in front of him. He sees what Hashem did for the Jewish people, and then he comes and he asks Hashem, can I have a little more parnasa? He can approach it with much more of the confidence. Hashem who split the sea can easily give me my parnasa. He can easily provide me with the refuah. All the different things I'm asking for, he approaches with a feeling of, this is the one who can do anything. I know who I'm talking to. That tefillah is a completely different tefillah.
Doesn't mean you feel like you deserve it.
What's that?
Doesn't mean you feel like you deserve it. Like,
that's true.
Yisrael, that was a big historical event.
That is true. You don't necessarily know if you deserve it. But you do approach it with a full confidence in what you're doing. Meaning, you know you're speaking to the right address, and you know that at the end of the day, he's the only one who can do it for you. Yeah. And he's the only one who can do it for you. Meaning, you're also acknowledging when you daven, I'm acknowledging that Lamaisa, if anyone can do it, it's him. If I'm going to be putting in the efforts throughout the day, I might as well give it a pitch with him, because my efforts anyways are going to be dependent on whether he wants it or not. So give it a pitch with him. Your tefillah is a completely different tefillah if you're coming off the experience. If you just exited the split sea, your tefillah is a different tefillah. You approach Hashem differently. So that's what we're saying. Regain that appreciation of who Hashem is, and then make your tefillah. Your tefillah is a completely different tefillah. That's true. Rabbi Yaakov is asking, why don't we just focus on the Geula as a historic thing? Why don't we relate to it as an everyday thing? So the truth is that we do, but we give each thing its focus. In Shemana Esrei we have a bracha that concludes with Goyal Yisrael Re'ev Anyenu, right? The truth is, we mentioned the goings on today. I think that these days, that's the bracha to put your efforts into. Davin to Hashem, we say, we know we're not deserving. Re'evan Yenu, look how poor we are. We know we're not deserving. But we know you can do it anyways. We know that you don't need us to be deserving. And then we do say, Goy El Yisrael. Hashem is redeeming us on an everyday basis in different ways. Many of them that we're not aware of. We have to realize that we have license to ask Hashem to do things for us even when we're undeserving. But at the end of the day, Gal Yisrael remains Gal Yisrael. We're coming off the basis of what we experienced. That's the basis for everything we asked for. We saw what he did. We saw what... Let's note. It showed us two things. First of all, it showed us what he can do. It also showed us what we mean to him. He did it, but he also did it for us. So we use that always as the basis for anything faith-related. So that's point number one. We're coming to relive the Geula. And when you relive it, you approach your tefillah in that way. Now, so if so, now the question is, what about Mairi? Shachris was actually the time when it happened. We left Mitzrayim in the morning. We left Mitzrayim in the morning. We could have left in the evening, but we didn't. Right, we were still in Mitzrayim. Yeah. So that's the truth is that already even before midnight, we were already freed from labor. That's actually what the Machlokes is boiling down to. The real experience of leaving Mitzrayim was in the morning. Let's realize also when they were told you don't have to work. Okay, we don't know what's going to be tomorrow. The experience really hit home when they actually exited those gates. The experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim was in the morning. And therefore, we primarily relive it in the morning. Now, the question is though, what about the nighttime? So that's the machlokes here. Rabbi Yochanan Tzova Geula Meyuta Nami Havi. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, we should be putting that same focus on the Geula of the evening, be reliving that element of the Geula, the beginning stage of the Geula, because it really began then. It just didn't reach its peak until morning. But the full Geula didn't happen until morning. Okay? But there was certainly an element of Geula in the evening, so therefore, this concept is appropriate in the evening as well. So do it in the morning and do it in the evening. Rabbi Shab and Levi Sovar, Rabbi Shab and Levi says no. Kiven Beloi Havya Elamit Safra, the actual redemption occurred in the morning. Beloi Havya Geula Ma'al Yisrael. The evening element of Geula, it doesn't really count. That's not really the main thing. We don't give that the focus. The focus we give on the morning. So that's the machlokes. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, implement it both in the morning and in the evening. Rabbi Shab ben Levi says, no, only the morning, that's the primary geula, not the evening. So that's the logical machlokes between them. It's also possible that they're debating how to understand the pasuk. They both learned up the same pasuk in conflicting ways. The pasuk says, "Beshach micha ukumech." Torah says you recite Kriya Shema when you go to sleep and when you get up. Rabbi Yochanan Sova. So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Makish chivolikima." The Torah is bunching the going to sleep with the getting up, meaning you do it in the same way. Makima Kriya Shema v'achakach tefila. Just like when you get up in the morning, it's Kriya Shema and then Shemoneh Esrei. Hakshchiva nami Kriya Shema v'achakach tefila. So too, when you go to sleep, it follows the same pattern: Kriya Shema and then Shemoneh Esrei. Bishua ben Levi Sova. Bishua ben Levi says, you're right, it's supposed to follow the same pattern, and therefore I say the opposite. Classic Jewish thought, right? Know the story about the priest who wanted to learn Gemara? This is mamish a good example of that. There was a priest who wanted to learn Gemara. He tried to convince his local rabbi to teach him Gemara. So the rabbi told him, Gemara is not for you. The priest said, why? So, well, you know what? I'll ask you a couple of questions to see if you're up to learning Gemara. What happens if two people go down the chimney? One comes out clean, the other one comes out dirty. Who's going to take a bath first? So the priest says, obviously, the dirty guy. The rabbi said, no! The dirty guy looks at the clean guy and says, oh, he's clean, I must be clean too. The clean guy looks at the dirty guy and says, he's dirty, I must be dirty too. So the clean guy will take a shower first. Okay? Priest is a little thrown. He says, okay, I missed that one, but try me again. Rabbi says, okay, question number two. Two people come down the chimney. One comes out clean, one comes out dirty. Who's going to take a shower first? The priest says, well, now I know the answer. Clean guy, he's going to look at the dirty guy. The rabbi says, what are you talking about? You don't think he's going to notice his hands? Of course the dirty guy's going to take a shower first. Now the priest is completely confused. All right, give me one more chance. The rabbi says, no problem. Third question. Two people go down a chimney. One comes out clean, one comes out dirty. Who's going to take a shower first? And the priest says, no, now I already have the Gemara approach. It depends how you view it. If you view it, the rabbi says, no, you got it all wrong. There's no such thing as two people coming down and one coming out clean, one coming out dirty. They went down the same chimney. Either they both be clean or they both be dirty. So that's what's going on here. So the priest gave up. So, yes, the Torah says you're supposed to do it in the morning and the evening the same. Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, that means that both in the morning and the evening, Shema and then Shema Esrei. Rabbi Shab and Levi says, no, you're supposed to do them both the same. And therefore, it's the opposite. Makish chiva lekima. You're supposed to do the going to sleep just like you do the getting up. Makima kriya shema samuch l'mitosa. Just like by the getting up, Kriya Shema is immediately after getting up, right? It says when you get up, you say Kriya Shema, and when you go to sleep, you say Kriya Shema. When you get up, it's immediately after getting up. Avshchiva nami Kriya Shema samoch lemitasa. So too, when you go to sleep, Kriyat Shema should be closest to going to sleep. Right? Who's going to take the shower first? Kriyat Shema should be immediately before going to sleep. That's how they're the same. In both cases, it's closest to bed. Okay. An interesting machloikis here. So I'll just note again that everybody does agree with the principle of having Geula immediately before Shemana Esra. Right? Everybody agrees to that. Question is whether we extend it to Ma'ariv or not. We saw that machloikis has a logical crux and a pasuk oriented crux. Okay. Now, the place. What's that? So on the contrary, therefore Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says, no, you do Shemana Esrei first and then Kriyat Shema. Yeah, he reverses the order. Okay. Now we come on to Rabbi Mordechai's question. So whatever it is, we have Rabbi Yochanan maintaining that at Ma'ariv also we have this value of Kriyat Shema, Geula, immediately before Shemana Esrei. Based on the beautiful explanation we gave, you're supposed to experience the Geula and then go straight into Shemana Esrei. You do that at Ma'ariv too. Now we have the obvious question, is that what we do? Nesiv Mar Brei D'Ravina. So Mar Brei D'Ravina is Ba'erev Mevorech Shtayim Lefonel U'Shtayim Le'Acharel. At Ma'ariv, you say two brachas before Kriyat Shema, Ma'ariv Arovim and Avas Olam, right? U'Shtayim Le'Acharel. And two brachas after Kriyat Shema, Gal Yisrael and Hashkiveinu. So 1 minute. Ve'amris Bo'ilismoy. If you're telling me that Gal Yisrael should be immediately before Shemana Esrei, should be one right after the other, you can't have one immediately after the other. But you have to say Hashkiveinu, like Rav Moshe is. Oh, but the Chachamim didn't set it up that way. That's the question. The Chachamim clearly said, yeah, maybe we should do otherwise. Move Ashkiveinu, cut and paste it. Move it to before Gal Yisrael. Move it to the beginning of Ma'ariv. Here it constitutes an interruption between Gal Yisrael and Shemana Esrei. So the Gemara says no. Amri. The Gemara says no. Kivan ditkinu rabbanan Ashkiveinu. Since the Chachamim instituted Hashkiveinu after Gal Yisrael, it's not an interruption. Why? Ki geula arichta damir. It's like an extended Gal Yisrael. The Moshe doesn't like that. And the truth is, I already got notice from Reb Stein earlier in the day. Couldn't wait till this year. He doesn't like that either. What's going on here?
There has to be a reason why. It's like as I was saying.
What?
There has to be a reason.
Oh, so let's see. So meanwhile, the Gemara is just kind of saying, it's magic. The Chachamim put it up, put it there, so it's like an extended Gal Yisrael. And so we could say that about anything. You know, I'll have a shmooze, and I'll call it an extended Gal Yisrael. Oh, Kaddish is another problem. We'll get to that. Good. Okay. So the answer is, the Mepharshim say that no. Well, the truth is, there are some Mepharshim. Tosfos seems to understand face value. No. What if the Chachamim decide to stick in? We'll just call it an extended Gal Yisrael, and that's that. But that doesn't satisfy all of us. And it didn't satisfy many of the Rishonim either. So here also, we're going to go to our Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says that no. There's an inherent understanding in what the Gemara is saying here. Hashkiveinu, the tefillah of Hashkiveinu, what are we actually asking for there? We're asking that we be protected from any sort of harm in the night. We elaborate, right? But that's the gist of the bracha. We're asking to be protected from any sort of harm. Rabbeinu Yonah says that was actually part of the experience of leaving Mitzrayim at night per se. What was the geula? We talked that there was a morning geula and a night geula. What was the night Geula Rabbi Yochanan was talking about? Hashem smote the Egyptian firstborn, right? And at that time, the Jewish people, it was a very scary situation in Mitzrayim. And the Jewish people were at home davening that they be spared. They were davening Hashkivenu while Makas Bechayos was going on. I don't know if in those words, but that gist. So actually the bracha of Hashkivenu was instituted to reflect that element of the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it's mamish a part of the Geula. It's mamish a part of what they were experiencing at the time. And the truth, can you say something? No, they were afraid that they would also be hit with the firstborn. Right. You're going to ask, why should they be scared of that?
You were talking about the
blood. We were the good guys. What?
No. Put the blood on the doorposts.
That's right.
A lot of Jews.
That's right. Oh, so you're already raising the beginning of the answer. See that Jews did die in the Makkos. Right? Hashem used the Makkos to sift. To do his straining process and pick the good from the bad. Now, as we learned in the Gemara earlier, the Mefarshim applied the Gemara earlier that we saw that there's never an absolute guarantee. Yes, you're told you'll be safe, but a person never knows if his chet is going to mess up. Especially then, the Jews were so, we have to remember, today we're already used to the idea that Hashem loves us. Remember, in Mitzrayim, the Jews were introduced to Hashem. Shevet Levi still had the tradition. Many of the Jews were already sunken in the tomb of Mitzrayim. When Hashem came and basically tore apart all of nature, showing that there's an almighty God that's not like anything any of the world was accustomed, was familiar with, the most astounding part of that experience was that Hashem was saying, this was also, first of all, a slap in the face of the Mitzrayim. What was the greatest nation in the world at that time? Egypt. If there's such a great God, he should be interested in the master race. The Mitzrayim, right? What were the Jews? The Jews were, at that time, a slave race, which basically meant that they were a subhuman. Basically despaired of any hope of ever being redeemed. All of a sudden, this almighty God appears on the scene. Everyone's in shock. The entire world is in shock of what they're being told. But the shock on top of the shock is that Hashem is saying, the Egyptians are nothing to me, they're dirt. What I'm interested in is those, the ones at the bottom, all the way at the bottom, the Jews. The Mitzrayim, for them that was a double slap in the face. This is especially brought out in Makas Barot. Hashem says, anybody wants to be spared, you better hide in your house with your animals. What was Hashem saying? There's a message to the Mitzrayim. Yeah, you're the master race. For me, you and the animals are all the same. We're with the bulls for a week. And the Jews, they were overwhelmed at what they were seeing. They couldn't believe it. That was part of what made them drunk with enthusiasm about Hashem. That this great God, greater than anything anybody could possibly conceive, is interested in us. It was overwhelming. And therefore, it was part of what they had to come to terms with. They had to get used to the idea. And therefore, Makas Becheres, at the end of the day, they're seeing the wrath of Hashem. What's it coming down for? It's coming down to smash their enemies. But at the same time, they were overwhelmed. And they were, is this for real? Are we really going to be spared? And yes, they were davening. They were hoping that, yes, this favor is for real. We really will retain it. So yes, the bracha of Hashkivenu it's not just a gimmick. The bracha of Hashkivenu is actually a part of reliving the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's Rabbeinu Yoina. Okay. Now, the Gemara adds, now you must agree that there is this concept of, yes, there are certain interruptions, but they're actually viewed as an extension of what Chazal did. Hashkivenu is not a different thing interrupting between Gal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei. It's an extension of Gal Yisrael. Now, the Eloi Teimahochid, now, if you disagree with this, if you're saying that, that's a stretch at the end of the day, Shachris Eichimotzi Samach. If you disagree with this, then also at Shachris, you don't have Gal Yisrael immediately before Shemoneh Esrei. There's an interruption there too. What's the interruption? Va'omar Rabbi Yechanan said, "Mitchila oimah Hashem sefosai tiftach." You preface Shemana Esrei with Hashem sefosai tiftach ufi agiti lasecha. Hey, what's with the interruption? Huh? So, okay, good. So, what must you say? Well, we just finished Rabbi Yechanan's statement. And when you conclude Shemana Esrei, you say, "You l'rotzon imrei fi," right? "You l'rotzon imrei fi." We ask Hashem to accept our tefillah. So, how will you explain that? Must be the same idea. That's basically what you said. Elohasam. So, what must you say? Why isn't Hashem sposai tiftach an interruption between the two? Kivan ditkinu abono lemeima Hashem sposai tiftach. Since the Chachamim instituted that you have to say Hashem sposai tiftach before davening Shemana Esrei. It's like an extension of the tefillah. It's part of Shemana Esrei. So the same is true for Hashkiveinu, as we just explained. Since the Chachamim instituted Hashkiveinu, it's actually viewed as an extension of Geula. So actually we're seeing here that yes, Gal Yisrael and Shemana Esrei by nature are complemented by each other. One is meant to immediately precede the other. Each enhances the other. And these different things that we see in between are actually really a part of the experience. Hashkiveinu is a part of the experience of the Geula. And Hashem Sfasai Tiftach is a very essential part of Shemana Esrei too. What is Hashem Sfasai Tiftach? It's a tefillah to succeed in your davening. You're coming to daven to Hashem. You start with the tefillah. May my tefillah work well. What's that? Well, at the end of the day, they are expressing two different things. It's two elements. They're both related to the Geula, but it's two elements. Gal Yisrael is simply recognition of what happened. Appreciating it, reliving it, and regaining the recognition and the appreciation we had at the time. Regaining the awe, if we'll put it that way. Hashkiveinu is the tefillah element, right? It's a request for protection. We don't want to mix the two. We have to departmentalize. Okay. Oh, right. The Yotz of both Shitas? How would you do that? What's that? Well, it's not a Chiyuv D'Oraisa. It's not a Chiyuv D'Oraisa, but in a way, you're kind of doing that. So the truth is, yes. Pnei Yeshua says something kind of along the lines of what you're saying. He says, you see clearly that Kriya Shema is associated with getting up and going to sleep. Meaning, the idea is, as we said, Kriya Shema, the essence of Kriya Shema is accepting Hashem's kingship. You start the day by saying, by getting your focus right, right? My day is dedication to Hashem. That's how you start the day, and that's why, Bikum Echa. Abishach Becha is because the truth is that going to sleep is an avodah in itself. Going to sleep, even though by us it basically seems just like a vacuum, a person has to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim before going to sleep also. There's a couple of reasons for that. Well, first of all, you don't want it to be a vacuum. Anyhow, isn't it a shame that we whittle away a third of our lives by sleeping? When you're mekabel ol malchus shamayim before going to sleep, and the truth is this has a lot to do with Kriya Shema Shel Amita also, but actually what you're doing is you're saying, no, everything about my life, even the breaks of my life, are all simply a part of my serving Hashem. I'm going to sleep now. That's what we mentioned from Avirsh at the beginning, right? Why do we go to sleep? We don't go to sleep because I deserved a good night's sleep after a hard day's work. That's the Goyish approach of night follows day. Our approach is day follows night. Why? We go to sleep in order to be able to serve Hashem. We express this by Kriya Shema before going to sleep. With Kriya Shema Meir, right? And according to Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi, the way to do that is say Kriya Shema before you actually go to sleep. That's mamish the idea, according to Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi. There's other elements also, in a practical way, without getting into the gory details, being in bed can present you with bigger tests than the whole day. So you need a special Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim before going to bed. Before she gave other explanations, L'maisa, Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi, a little more technical, if you will. Tadir v'sheinei, tadir koidem. You put fila before because it's the more common. But okay, that's basically the idea. Okay, now just the Olam already brought up. Let's just address the question that the Olam brought up. 1 minute. There are other interruptions between Goel Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei. Some of them we didn't chutz laretz. Baruch Hashem lo Olam, right? Remember that whole long series of psukim, and it's followed with Kaddish that we do here in Eretz Yisrael too. What's with all that? So the truth is, we have to begin with a bigger question. Where does Baruch Hashem Lo'ilam come from? Yiru'ayneinu, where does it come from? The Mefarshim here struggle with trying to figure out, first of all, why is it an interruption? And once we're at it, where did it come from? It's not in Chazal. Who instituted it? So, the Mefarshim say some very interesting things about it. Now I'll just take, first I'll take the two most extreme approaches. Rav Amram Goyim says, you know what? On the contrary, we hold that Ma'ariv is optional. We mentioned this a few times. We hold that Ma'ariv is optional. And therefore, we dafka make a point of interrupting between Goel Yisrael and Ma'ariv in order to show that this is not for real. And that's why we have Baruch Hashem Lo'ilam with Yiru'ayneinu and Kaddish. Make it clear, Ma'ariv is not really an obligatory tefillah. Taisus has nothing doing. Not true. All the Rishonim basically disagree with that very strongly. Interesting though, that they don't disagree with the premise. They agree that Ma'ariv is optional, but yet they say that's how we paskin. We'll see some implications of this. But yet they say it still doesn't justify. Rabbi Yochanan also agrees that Ma'ariv is optional. Yet he says you still have to have Geula precede Shemoneh. In as much as you are davening Ma'ariv, it's got to be after Goel Yisrael. So the fact that Ma'ariv is optional still does not justify interrupting between Goel Yisrael and Ma'ariv. So forget that. That's what the Rishonim say. What is the Pshat? So, it's very interesting. What most of the Rishonim say is that actually, these Pesukim were in earlier times recited in place of Shemoneh Esrei. And the Kaddish that follows it is the Kaddish that follows Ma'ariv. Kaddish that we say before Shemoneh Esrei in those days was the Kaddish that followed Ma'ariv. Why? So afterwards I'll give the different explanations, but that's basically the idea. Since Ma'ariv is essentially optional, in earlier times not everybody davened Shemoneh Esrei. They davened Baruch Hashem Lo'olam instead, and therefore they davened Baruch Hashem Lo'olam. By the way, they set it up to mamish represent Shemoneh Esrei in a way. So Shemoneh Esrei of sorts, there are 18 psukim corresponding to the 18 brachas. We kind of finish it off with a bracha, Kaddish, and that's it, go home. That was how it was done in earlier times. Now today we did accept, meaning it was done that way for the people who weren't going to do the whole Ma'ariv.
In earlier times, meaning
before
the
Gaonic times. After the Gemara, before the Rishonim. The period immediately after the Gemara. Okay. So, now, by today, we did accept Ma'ariv Bechira. But yet, the way it was done then remains in place, and that's why we do what we do today.
So,
It's not from the Gemara. Very interesting. It's not from the Gemara. And the truth is, some Rishonim were opposed to it. Like the Ramban, for example, didn't say it. We're not supposed to interrupt. This doesn't have a source in the Talmud. We don't say it. And actually, that's the sheet of the Vilna Gaon. The Sfardim follow that sheet. And that's what's implemented in Eretz Yisrael today. It's based on, first of all, well, the first halachic authority in Eretz Yisrael was the Beis Yosef. Sfardic meaning is not to say Baruch Hashem Lo'olam. The Baruch Hashem Lo'olam. And therefore, that was how. Who are the first Ashkenazi settlers in Eretz Yisrael? The Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Balatanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. Both of them also hold, like the Shitas that say that you don't say it, it's an interruption. And therefore, the practice in Eretz Yisrael became established as not saying it.
Because
we follow the Shita that holds that it's a Hepsi. Bashamru, same thing with Bashamru. That's why according to the Vilna Gaon, you don't say Bashamru. That's the question that's left. So he's asking if we follow the Shita that it is a hepsik and you're not supposed to be doing it, what happened to Kaddish? How come Kaddish we do say? That's a problem. Not so clear. We shouldn't say Kaddish either on that token.
Is it a big deal when you're in Bazaars that you can say it?
What's that?
Can you skip it when you're in Bazaars?
Can you skip it when you're in Chutzlars? A Bener to Swell. I'm going to get to that. I want to leave that for a separate point. But we'll say a Ben Eretz Yisrael, a person who's a regular resident of Eretz Yisrael, goes to Chutz Laaretz, can skip it. Don't make a point of skipping it. Don't slam your siddur shut. But inconspicuously, you can skip it. Probably, yeah. You were going to ask something?
Same thing.
Yeah. What's that? Right. But what is the pshat that we say Kaddish? So there isn't really a clear answer given to this by the Mefarshim. Rabbi, the answer that I found given is from Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt.
Yeah,
what? Rabbi Ephraim, the Ephraim Greenblatt of Memphis. He gives a very interesting pshat. He says that what's that? I think so. He gives a very interesting pshat. You know what? I'm going to save that pshat for next time because it has to be developed a little bit. There's more to discuss here. Now your point. Another explanation given of the Rishonim, and this has a lot of practical import for Bnei Chutz La'aretz. Again, it's not relevant for us anymore because we won't say it when we're in Chutz La'aretz. But another different explanation given of how Baruch Hashem Lo'olam developed is that in earlier times, shuls were outside of town. It was scary to be there by yourself. If a person came late from Ma'ariv, it was scary. Therefore, they instituted Baruch Hashem Lo'olam in order to prolong it a little bit, to give latecomers a chance to catch up. Everybody else schleps their Ma'ariv out a little longer. The latecomers have a chance to catch up and finish with everybody else. Okay? I don't know why we're accommodating latecomers. What? Never you teach them a lesson. I guess they didn't want the lesson to be attacked by bandits when you're by yourself. Maybe other lessons. But that's right. Part of it is like, make the whole minion stay by making them all say this, and then the guy has the whole group. Therefore, it's true that halacha is l'maisa. Even if we are bnei chutz la'aretz and you do recite it, if you do come late for ma'ariv, you can utilize Baruch Hashem Lo'olam to catch up and skip it. That's halacha. Yes. Yeah, same idea. It's the same sheet of the Gaon. Yeah. You said something? Yeah.
You only have to make it up after Shmona Esrei. Like,
what's that? You don't have to make it up after Shmona Esrei. Okay. Before we get to the explanation of the Kaddish, there's a couple of other very interesting points to mention. First of all, and this will lead to that. There's a couple of very practical implications in this idea. The place can say, no, you must. We do follow the halacha that you have to have Gal Yisrael right before Shemini Esrei. All these other interruptions have their explanations, right? Hashkivenu has its explanation. Baruch Hashem Lo'olam has its explanation. But other than that, you're not allowed to interrupt. So let's ask a couple of questions. First of all, what about Yalav Yovo? Right? What about announcing Yalav Yovo? Isn't that an interruption? What? But in many places they do it. Is it wrong? Oh, not Shachris, but Mayri. So the place can say that no, it's okay. It's not considered an interruption either. Why not? Because since it's for the tefillah, you know that there's aloha. Exactly. Perfect. Perfect. That's exactly what the place can say. We know that if you make a moiti and then you tell somebody pass the salt, it's not a hefsik. Why? Because the bracha is for the eating, and what you said is for the eating. So here also, it's not a hefsik, because what you're saying is for the tefillah. You're not supposed to interrupt it in Gal Yisrael and the tefillah, but this is for the tefillah, it's okay. And therefore, it's okay, yes, you're allowed to bang and say Gal Yisrael before Shemoneh Esrei. But at Shachris, we don't. Poskim say, Ma'ariv, yes, Shachris, not. Why? And this is another one of those implications of the fact that Ma'ariv at the end of the day is optional, while, meaning essentially optional, while Shachris is not. And therefore by Shachris we say, no shtick at all. No chachmas, no explanations, no nothing. By Shachris, Gal Yisrael, straight into Shemoneh Esrei. All the explanations used for Ma'ariv. And therefore what do you do with Yalav Yovo at Shachris? You give a bang on the bima, but you don't say anything. It's ad kedei kach that Gal Yisrael, we try not to even answer our name. Right? Even that's called a hefsek. When we're really talking about doing it right, even on main.
That's why they say Gal.
Oh. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. You don't answer Amen after Gal Yisrael. It's a hefsek. By Ma'ariv is certainly not particular about that, right? We even say Kaddish. Again, the idea being that. What? Oh. Oh. So the truth is that as far as that point goes, Amen after Gal Yisrael. The Shulchan Aruch says that you don't say Amen after Gal Yisrael. The Ramah says that you do. But the Shavru says, try to get around it. The famous way of getting around it. Right, that's what the Ramah passes. Right, right. Oh, so the Mishabura gives two eights. Either finish Gal Yisrael with the Chazan, or start Shemoneh Esrei a second before the Chazan says Gal Yisrael. That's the two. Oh, exactly. That's right. Those are the two eights that the Mishabura gives. But what's commonly done? Everybody's familiar with the more common eights that the Mishabura doesn't give, and that is that the Chazan doesn't finish it out loud. Right? You ever wonder why? Goal Yisrael, Baruch Ato Hashem, Goal? That's all. What? Oh. So the Mishabura doesn't say that, but that has become a very common practice. And the question seems, okay, makes sense. You want to be able to avoid the Amen. But there were Paiskin that were opposed to that, Rav Shlomo Zalman, for example, and now I hear that Rav Malinowitz is also. Rav Shlomo Zalman said it's wrong. Brachas are meant to be said out loud. Use the Mishabura's Eitzes. Either finish with the Chazan, or start Shemoneh Esrei before the Chazan finishes. But others do justify it. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said that it's a very good idea. This way, everybody, you know, some people are aware of the Mishabura's Eitzes, some people are not. This way you avoid the problem. So therefore, what we'll say is, those who do it have basis, and there's certainly also basis for not doing it, and using the Chazan should say it out loud, and the Tzibur should utilize one of the two Eitzes Mishabura offers. Okay, some more points on this, we'll see you next time, Bezos Hashem.
But either way, you shouldn't say a
name. At the end of the day, if you did not use any of the Mishabura's Eitzes, and the Chazan did say it out loud, do say a name, because that's what the Ramah passes.